We're here towards the end of the Brighton Fringe, but that also means the beginning of all the good children's shows that happen during half term, and there's still time to catch quite a lot of stuff. Margot and Mr. Watson is from a company we've seen in Edinburgh before. They're called Paddle Boat Theatre Company, and I'm delighted to be joined by
Katie Dash.
Katie's an actor in this piece, and
Michael Smith.
Are you going to say director?
Oh, no, that's Katie's job as well.
Okay, so what are you?
I'm also an actor in the piece. Okay. I'm playing Katie's imaginary friend.
Yeah, he's imaginary. He's not really here.
Now, we could go back a couple of years when we first met you, and maybe you can go back before then, but how would you describe what the essence of your theatre company is, and also how it's changed over time and developed?
So it's been about 3 years since we were last in Brighton Fringe and Edinburgh Fringe, when we brought our shows Little Man's Holiday and According to Arthur.
You still don't have one grey hair in your beard, and I'm very jealous about that.
It's very luscious, yeah. Although it's causing me problems with the microphone in the venue. I keep getting hairs in the speakers.
Anyway, more about the beard company.
Well, beards develop too, you know.
So all our work is created in Devon with primary schools, and this is our fourth show. So this is the fourth show that we developed, and it came from teachers actually saying that they didn't have enough resources or time to talk about non-nuclear families. And more these days, children were coming through who are fostered, in care, adopted, or just from same-sex parents. And so it's a show that sort of came from that. It was inspired by that, and has a real silly essence to the show, but a really good heart.
Yeah, and 3 years plus, so this is aimed at the younger children?
Yeah, so it was created in created with primary schools, so it's aimed predominantly at Key Stage 1, Key Stage 2. It's got, like Katie said, it's got a very silly heart, so I think the slapstick nature really appeals to Key Stage 1, but it's also got quite a kind of emotional punch.
I still worry that if I ever said Key Stage 1 to a three-year-old, they'd burst out crying.
It's a scary thought.
But what I think it means, having seen some of your work, is it also means where the eyes are still wide open and there's a receptiveness at a really good, innocent level.
Yeah, when they want to get up on stage still and join us and play the game with us, that's what we like. Yeah.
But you have done stuff more with the fourth wall up, so is this a decision to try something that's much more interactive?
So bringing the children into the story helps just break the story down and gives them an opportunity to engage and give their thoughts to how we tell the story, and it's lovely. We get a junior doctor up in this one, and a teacher. So we welcome interaction, and it's just lovely to see parents and children engaging with the show at the same time.
Yeah. And along that line of patchwork, you know, natural colours to fluorescent, you are not at the fluorescent end, are you?
No, we're not. However, we do have some lovely lighting, which is when sneak preview. We go to space in our story, and we turn our magical bed round, and there's flashing lights, and it's lovely to see the children's faces light up and go, oh, wow.
But it's the interaction, you know, that's already there, present in the children. You're not trying to prod them into waking up like so many at the fluorescent end shows do.
Yeah, we got a kind of a belief that the interaction has to help the story. The children have to have an actual role in helping us complete our journey, and this is a story about Sophia looking to find her forever home, and the children play a role in helping her find stability and love, and yeah. I think that's really important.
Now, you've indicated already that this is done, you know, with schools. It's around a very relevant issue, and then it turns it back into the story. But give me more of a flavour of how that actually then gets written and taken into the rehearsal studio.
Okay, so we take ideas into the classroom in schools, kids feedback on it, and then we rehearse with those ideas, and we share a scratch performance. So we devise a piece, we share a 10-minute scratch performance at the end of term, so a 12-week process.
But you don't scratch the children, do you?
We don't.
Try not to.
They scratch us.
I'm asking that because what is scratch? If anyone's not heard of that, what does that mean?
So it means a very rough form of theatre, work in progress, presentation of ideas, really, of this is what the story is going to be like, these are the characters, this is the set. That's what we want feedback on initially. And the children are so honest and open, and they will say,
that wasn't funny.
Or, that doesn't have an ending.
Yeah.
Or, who's this character? But it's lovely because we worked with a year two group, and they actually designed our set for us. We took their drawings to a set designer. It was made, and then we brought the set back into the school, and they absolutely loved it. We did have to scratch some ideas of a swimming pool, a jacuzzi, a popcorn making machine. Unfortunately, they didn't make the cut.
I guess also, I mean, this is a bit of a tough question, but children are, they're splitting in a way, and that some are still really, really magically ready and believe in everything. But others, you know, I'd say partly because of being given, you know, digital devices, are really grown up even at three. They're not kind of going, well, that wasn't very relatable or anything like that. Are you having to play to a kind of more complicated audience?
Yeah, so every show we've ever made has been made across a number of schools. So this one was created in five very different schools, and we work from, I think there was a year two class, a year five class, a year nine class in an autistic secondary school. So we get a real diverse spread of children all feeding ideas in. So we try and make sure that whatever we create plays to a number of different levels.
Yeah.
And we always feel like a big success of this show is when you have children sat in the front row laughing their heads off and a group of parents surrounding them at the back crying at the end and visibly weeping. And I think that encapsulates the show's ethos of being funny and heartwarming.
Yeah, but you don't particularly play to the adult in kids then? You still try and keep it quite young?
Not in this show. We don't play to the adult in the kid. This is more about the family unit, and we did a lot of work in libraries before the show went to theatres, because it's only recently been performed in theatres. So we've done a lot of library touring where we do workshops at the end where we get the whole family together, because it is about family and a sense of home and what that means, and that looks different. And a lot of the children that we work with, actually, they came up and they did their own family portrait, got different people to play different parts, even including the pets, and it's amazing.
I see. Sorry, I said if they said amazing, I was going to press stop. Yeah. But you're on your last one now. Unless it's really amazing.
We don't use that word lightly. sure.
It's amazing how the children are so sensitive to other people's situations, and they will say, oh, you just live at home with your grandma. That's interesting. That's very different to mine, to my home and what my experience of family is. And getting those conversations just started between families and parent and child is really important.
I do think that a lot of parents have come away from the show being like, wow, I need to have a sit-down conversation with my child now, but kind of, thank you, this is an interesting jumping block. So I guess while it doesn't necessarily appeal to the adult in a child, it does kind of provoke those more grown-up questions.
Children love surprises, adults not so much. So the other actor is...
Hello, I'm Hattie Brown, and I play Margot.
And just give us a flavour of what it's like being the performer in this.
It is, you have to think on your feet throughout because of all the interaction. It's really fun. They constantly laughing, and it's really good to be a complete counterpart to Michael's character, who is a clown, and I play a very grown-up Mary Poppins sort of character, which is good fun.
Is it more nervous, you know, not knowing what their reaction's going to be than just having a script? But also, is that exciting?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when we get them on stage and we have to ask them directly for lines and kind of inspiration for the next bit of the scene. Actually, sometimes they don't come out with what you want them to come out with, but that's good because you just have to work with that and see where it goes. And I think that keeps us on our toes as we develop shows and as we carry on going forwards as well, actually.
So, a bit further down the line, you've just scratched it, you're back in the rehearsal room. At some point, there's going to be a performance date. How does the show then develop further?
So, we work at the University of Exeter, and we've got a lot of support there in terms of the lecturers who actually taught us 4 years ago when we were studying our BA there. They give us a lot of support in terms of the dramaturgy, the narrative of the piece. And we have a lot of artist support down there in Exeter. And so we will get people in to see the show, and we will keep devising off that. And we've got a scriptwriter, Stuart Cottrell, who will go away and put it into a final script. And the show is born.
This show's been going for about 2 years now. So we did a first stage library tour to see how it went down. We were semi-happy with the finished product. Went away, rehearsed it, and we're back now. We've just done a show at the Exeter Northcote, which is a 600-seat theatre. So it's one of the biggest performances we've done to date, and here in a 200-seat house. So.
And which needs to bring its fringe back, okay? Yeah. Because a lot of good work comes out of Exeter.
Yeah.
So, man with clearly dyed beard. go right back to the start. If you summarise how the group's changed, what you've learned along the way, is there a through line that, you know, distinguishes your flavour as a company from everyone else? What would be the answer to all those questions?
I'd say that we've become... I think we've solidified our working ethos. All our work is made with children at its heart. We won't make a show in isolation. Children will always guide our creative process. And as I was kind of saying earlier, that we have characters that definitely need an audience's help to make it to the end. So we had, according to Arthur, about an old man who wouldn't leave his attic. And if the audience aren't there and they don't meet us halfway, then our characters won't make it to their happy ending, hopefully. So I think that kind of makes us unique.
But do you think when you were doing, say, just more traditional storytelling theatre, that you've noticed that? That actually your work comes more alive when the audience isn't behind a fourth wall?
Yeah, I think Edinburgh Fringe a couple of years ago taught us that there were certainly some shows on some days that felt a bit like getting blood out of a stone, and then other shows where the children and the families are up for it, and the show just comes alive. Thanks.
Yeah, you need to welcome the audience in, and it needs to be an environment where they feel relaxed and safe to engage with you. And that's what the 4 years of us working constantly with children and in schools has allowed us to gain those skills, to be able to be welcoming and relaxed and encouraging. And that environment is the environment that we want in all our shows going forward.
We've worked a lot with SEN schools, so special education in needs, and through that we've developed quite a relaxed and inclusive atmosphere. So even if a child doesn't have any additional needs, we are really welcoming and open to anything they might say or need to do. So I think that's how we developed in our performance style as well, actually, since we first started. Made us feel a lot more confident in performing to all sorts of different people.
Favourite children's book?
Enormous Crocodile.
Okay. Book that's most inspired you in your life?
In my life? I was a big fan of Anthony Horowitz's really unpleasant dark books before he got into kind of his Alex Rider trade. There's a film called book called The Granny, about an evil granny who tries to kill her own child, which I just thought was excellent for children. Yeah, but that doesn't influence our shows anymore. But
describe yourself in 2050.
2015? 50.
Yeah, describe yourself 2 years ago.
A rocking granny.
And finally, any one of you can put your hand up for this. A non-PR, without the word amazing, intro invitation for people to come and see Margot and Mr. Watson.
Okay.
The beard has it.
So it's a very interactive slapstick kid show about two imaginary friends that absolutely hate each other and a young child looking for her forever home.
Here at the Brighton Fringe, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you.